Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned, because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, brought to you every Sunday at the same time, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and always done without manipulation. In other words, this show is not here trying to get you to join something. This is no infomercial. We've got nothing to sell you. We have no hidden agendas. This is simply a show about truth. No useless speculation here. Just accurate information from the Bible. The Word of God, yes. It is a show about the Bible, but hold on before you turn it off. It's not like some shows you've heard before. No ranting, no raving, no yelling, no screaming, no singing. Just some information put in a way that will document to you the plan of God. My job is not to convince you or manipulate you or persuade you, but to document to you the plan of God for your life. Now, if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you've got the freedom and you have the privacy to do so, but it's about time someone just simply sat down with you and just told you how this stuff works, what it's really all about, without all the rigmarole of religious activity involved in it. You know, if you want to get involved in a church, then there's a lot of things you have to do. You have to join up, fess up, give up. I mean, we're not talking about doing any of that. We're just talking about you listening up. And if you want to make some changes in your life, you have the freedom and the privacy to do so. But maybe you've wondered about God's plan. Maybe you've wondered about whether or not the Bible is real. Maybe you've wondered who and what Jesus Christ is and what he did. Then you're at the right place. We're studying The Flatline, F-L-O-T. And if this is your first time, let me explain the name of the show, FLOT, F-L-O-T. That's a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. Some people know it as the Main Line of Resistance. And what I'm doing on this radio show is teaching you the problem-solving devices that are found in the Bible. I'm orienting you to the Word of God so that when the outside pressure of adversity hits your life, you don't have to convert it to the inside pressure of stress. You can stop it. In other words, I can't stop adversity from hitting your life. No one can. The Bible says we're born of women and our days are few and we're full of trouble. But I can show you how you do not have to live a stress-filled life. And I'm talking about things like worry, fear, anger, guilt, agitation. These are all things that are easily conquered in the normal Christian life, so that you don't have to be manipulated by things like this that are brought on by adversity that you face. Adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress is what you do to yourself. You do not have to have stress. So if you listen to me, and if you learn the Word of God, and learn the mechanics found in the Bible that relate to the spiritual life, you can deploy all 10 of these problem-solving devices into the forward compartments of your soul, and they will act as a defensive barrier to keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. That's all this show's about, telling you a better way to live. The Bible calls it the abundant life. It's the Christian life. It's the spiritual life. That's what it is. And when you learn to operate in the spiritual life according to the mandates of God, then you can have the most phenomenal joy and peace that the world has ever experienced, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. Happiness is not related to circumstances, nor is it related to people, nor is it related to the details in life. Because unhappy people can take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. But happiness is related to the person of Jesus Christ. And he said that we could have his joy in us. He wanted our joy to be complete and full, like his. And that's why we're giving you this information, to show you how to live in the arena of contention, which is what we call the devil's world, this life, as believers in Jesus Christ, fulfilling the objectives of God, glorifying Him to the max, and having a heck of a good time doing it. I can tell you, it's an amazing way to live. And it won't cost you a dime. You don't have to join anything. All you have to do is learn something. Now, that doesn't sound too hard, does it? Listen to what the Bible said. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But the key is to learn. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And the key verb there is study. There is another verse that says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Key verb, grow. And so we have some verbs like learn, study, grow. Unfortunately, there are not very many churches where you can learn very much other than the ritual. And there are not very many churches where you're going to grow, because they're not going to feed you enough spiritual food for you to get by. Most churches are just operating on the fast food idea when it comes to the spiritual life. You know, 20 minutes on Sunday morning, 20 minutes on Sunday night, 15 minutes on Wednesday night, and that's your spiritual food? No one can grow up on that small amount of Bible teaching. And so they send you home with your Bible and a book and tell you to get it on your own. Read the Bible. You can get it on your own, brother. Well, you can get a lot of things, but the Bible is a textbook. It was designed by God to be taught to you. And He equipped men who have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Your job is to sit under the authority of a pastor so that you can learn God's word in privacy, in freedom, and then you can apply it into your life and experience this phenomenal joy that we're talking about. But unless you take time to learn it and apply it, you cannot experience it. And you can't learn it until you hear it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you don't hear it, you can't learn it. This is a simple radio show. It's 30 minutes every week. By faith, I put these radio shows on the air. I trust my God to pay for them, and He does. We don't have any advertisements. We don't sell anything. We don't ask you for money. We just believe that if we give accurate information, God will honor it. And so far, He has. This is 3 years that I've been doing this radio show across the United States, and never once have we asked anybody for a nickel. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a great Christian. I can tell you right now, I'm a jerk. But don't laugh, you are too. And if it wasn't for God's sense of humor, we'd probably both be a greasy spot somewhere right now. We're not. We're still here for the time being. So God must have a plan. The idea is for you and me to learn that plan so we can experience all that God has for us to experience. Now, we started talking last week on this radio show about the mechanics of the spiritual life. And I talked to you about how specific God is when it comes to details, that God doesn't leave anything undone. God is very specific. And I went to the Old Testament, and I showed you how God specifically laid out the Ten Commandments. I showed you how God specifically laid out in Exodus 21, 25, 26, 28, and all the passages in between, all the rules that Israel was to live by, specific rules, black and white, how the ark was to be made, how the tabernacle was to be made, how the robes of the priestly garments were to be made. I mean, specifically down to the color and the length. God is a God of specifics. But in the New Testament and in the church today, there don't seem to be many specifics. It seems like it's more take your best shot and you can get it. And there seems to be a void in people understanding how this thing works. Not that people don't want to understand. And not that a lot of preachers aren't selling a lot of books to a lot of gullible people to tell them that you could be whatever you want to be if you just dream your dream and think about it hard enough. And they'll quote a few scriptures and people wander off down the road trying to live the Christian life and they never fully get it. Now, last week, we gave you the specifics of being saved, and I don't have time to go through them all again on this radio show. But if you didn't hear it, I'll be glad to send you the CD. If you'll write to me, the announcer will give you the address at the end of the show. But it's simply Rick Hughes, and you can email me at rick@bigrick.org, rick@bigrick.org. That's the email address. Or you could, if you wanted to write to me at a hard mail address, simply write to Post Office Box 100. And the city is Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. 35054. And the announcer will tell it again. But if you want to get the tape on last week's specifics, I'll be glad to send it to you. And they're all, by the way, they're all on my website. You can go to my website, which is www.bigrick.org, and you can click on Schedule once you get into the website. And underneath Schedule is Audio Online. And if you click there, all of our radio shows are web broadcasts right there so that you can listen at any time of the day, wherever in the world you may be. So, I mean, that's how you can get the information again. Or you can write to me. I'll send you the CD. You can put it in your car and play it, whatever. But we're going to talk today about the specifics of the spiritual life. Last week, it was the specifics of salvation, or how do I know for sure I can go to heaven? This week, it's the specifics of the spiritual life. So let's start off asking this question. What is the spiritual life? What is that? Well, let me explain it to you. The first time you were born, you have a physical life. You have flesh and blood. You are a person, a human. And then when you're born again, your second birthday, you have a spiritual life. Your first birthday starts your physical life. Your second birthday, that's the day you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the birthday of your spiritual life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here it is. You are born into this world with a body, a cute little baby. You have a body, and you have a soul. But you are dead spiritually because you're related to Adam, and Adam, through Adam's sin, the Bible says, "For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin." And now death has passed on all men, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So you are born spiritually dead, but physically alive. And if you're going to have fellowship with God, it's going to take a spiritual birthday. In John chapter 3, Jesus made it clear. And so when Nicodemus believed in Jesus Christ, he had the same body, didn't change, the same soul, it didn't change, but the dead human spirit was made alive. You see, the minute you believe in Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell your dead spiritual life, the inside of you, the spirit of you that's dead, and makes it alive. And you're born again, spiritually speaking. You're still the same body. Still the same soul, but now you have a human spirit. And the Bible clearly says if we're going to have fellowship with God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you cannot have a spiritual life without a human spirit. And you can't have an alive human spirit unless it is made alive by the Holy Spirit the minute you believe in Jesus Christ. So once you have a spiritual birth, then it requires spiritual growth, or you will stay a spiritual baby all your life. In order for the physical life to grow, there must be food. In order for the spiritual life to grow, there must be food. And so I stopped the show last week giving you an illustration found in Hebrews chapter 5. And in Hebrews chapter 5, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews talks about the people that have not grown spiritually and how they're still babies, and he wanted them to grow spiritually. And so this is what he said, "For though by this time," this is Hebrews 5:12, "you ought to be a teacher, you now need someone to come and teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have become one who needs milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So it's possible that when you get saved, you never grow up and you never become a spiritual adult and you remain a spiritual baby. What would cause that? Well, it's because you never were fed spiritually speaking. Stunted spiritual life would mean that, number one, you never learn the mechanics of the protocol plan of God, and thus, consequently, your old sin nature controlled you your entire Christian experience. Will you go to heaven? Yes. Will you receive rewards? No. Will you have no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow? Yes. Will you glorify Christ with your life that you lived on this earth? No. You will take a look back and you will say, "I cannot believe what an idiot I was. I cannot believe I ignored this, that I never, no one ever even told me about it," you'll say. "No one ever explained to me what I should be doing. They always told me, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that. And I thought that's what the Christian life was. And you were duped. You were sold a bill of goods by some well-meaning legalistic pastor who tried to tell you that if you wanted to approbate God, that you shouldn't do bad things. And so now that you're a Christian, you have to train that old man within you, that old sin nature." And I am being facetious, you know. I'm talking to you as if what this well-meaning legalistic preacher would say. Then he would tell you, "You got to teach the old sin nature to behave and not do bad things." Well, if you spend your time trying to teach your old sin nature to behave and not do bad things, you're going to be one sorely disappointed individual. Because Paul said the old man within me is against God's laws. He never has obeyed and he never will. So you're not going to change your old sin nature. It is a cancer. It's an infected part of you. You know why you have to die? So you can put it off. You can't go to heaven with an old sin nature. There are no old sin natures in heaven. And the reason you have to die is to get out of this body, which is what the old sin nature is contaminating, and get rid of this body and put on a new body, a glorified body. But if you don't learn the mechanics of the spiritual life when you get that new body, that glorified body, then you're not going to have any glory to give God or the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just going to be there. You say, "Well, that's good enough for me." It may be, but as long as you're a Christian, wouldn't you like to have the maximum experience that's possible here on this earth? I mean, why would you want to buy one of the most expensive cars in the world, like a Bugatti, and then run it on some kind of low-leaded ethanol when it wouldn't perform? You have the most expensive spiritual life. It was paid for and bought by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why not put the best fuel in it? And that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And as you learn it, as you grow, as you study, as you apply, then your spiritual life takes on much more significance than your physical life. And you will find that as goes your spiritual life, so goes your physical life. And I'll even make another astounding statement to you. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the future history of your nation. Yes, God is looking at your heart. You know what God said in Hosea chapter 4? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. "Since you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you." When I start talking about studying and growing and learning the Bible, people roll their eyes. They don't want to do that. They want to go to church and feel good, sing a few songs, clap, 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 thump, 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 do Lord, glory to God, shake hands, and head out to the nearest restaurant. But you let someone go into a church and teach the Word of God so that somebody actually has to concentrate? And why do you think they don't teach anymore? Because people can't concentrate. People fall asleep, so they have to be entertained to keep them awake. Listen, are you listening? Does it sound familiar to you? The mechanics of the spiritual life. Do you have a spiritual life? Yes. When did you get it? The minute you believed in Christ. What does it create? It creates the spiritual you, the part of you that is going to go to heaven. Your soul and spirit are going to heaven. Your body's going to the grave. Or what are the rules? What are the requirements? Very simply, the Bible says we are to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And so you cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. Well, what are the mechanics for walking in the Spirit? If the Bible tells me that I have to walk in the Spirit, how do you do it? It's simple. When you get saved, there are 40 things that happen to you. 39 of them are irrevocable. One is revocable. That one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. The moment you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, fills you, seals you, redeems you. Listen. When you sin, the filling of the Holy Spirit is quenched. You lose it. But when you use problem-solving device, number one, when you come to God the Father and you admit your sin, as per 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:4-5, Jeremiah 3:13, you admit your sin to God. He's faithful and just to forgive you and purify you from all of your wrongdoing. So you reclaim the filling of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life is lived as you walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is synonymous with letting the Holy Spirit control your life 24 times 7. And He cannot control your life if He's constantly being quenched by your sin and constantly being grieved by your actions. So you want to grow up spiritually? The first thing you do is you let the Holy Spirit control your life 24/7. As soon as you know you've sinned, as soon as you realize you've committed a sin, you confess it immediately. And that guarantees you that you're not walking in the energy of the flesh. See, a Christian can walk in the energy of the flesh and think he's turning God on. He can go to church with sin in his life, hidden sin. He can go to church and sing in the choir with sin in his life. He can give with sin in his life. He can pray publicly with sin in his life, and nobody would even know it but God. That's a right thing done in a wrong way, and it doesn't honor God at all. So, if you want to stay filled with the Spirit, then number one, keep a very short account of your sins. When you know you've sinned, immediately name that sin to God. That is the first rule. You cannot grow spiritually. You cannot have a spiritual life if you're out of fellowship, under control of your old sin nature. And rule number two, the mechanics to the spiritual life, you must grow up spiritually. You must learn. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The Bible says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." There are three verbs, learn, study, grow. If you're going to have an effective spiritual life, there are some things you must learn. Well, what do you have to learn? You have to learn God's system. God's system. How does it work? Well, it's called, Let me give you the word. It's called protocol. Protocol, P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L. And it means that the right thing has to be done in the right way. You cannot hot dog it for God. You can't take your best shot. You must do it a certain way, or it will not honor God. You will be out of fellowship. You will think you are honoring God because you observe some religious taboo. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't cuss. You don't. When in reality, you are being played as a sucker by Satan, who has you observing all of these taboos, thinking that you're really approbating God, when in reality, you're not doing anything but making an idiot out of yourself. You want to approbate God? Then recreate the thinking of Jesus Christ in your soul. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Learn to think like he thought. That's simple enough, isn't it? If you want to follow God's plan, you must learn to think as Christ thought. And if you're going to learn to think as Christ thought, then Romans is pretty clear about it. In Romans chapter 12, here's what the Bible says. In reading to you, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service." That's your, God has a claim on your body. He saved you, didn't he? He bought you out of the slave market of sin. And so this goes on to say, "And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Then in verse 3, "And I say through the grace of God given to me to all that are among you, not to think of yourself in terms of arrogance, but to think in terms of humility, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." God makes war against arrogant people, but he gives grace to the humble. If you want to be the man God intended you to be, or the woman that God intended you to be, then you must learn the system. And the system demands protocol. And arrogant people don't want to follow protocol. They want to do it their way. And if you don't do it God's way, you're not going to impress God. And thus, there is humility involved. Humility is nothing more than teachability. And when the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus," what exactly is it talking about? Well, in Philippians 2:6, 7, 8, 9, read it. "Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and humbled himself, and took upon himself the form of a servant." Was our Lord Jesus Christ humble? Oh, yes. He obeyed his Father's mandates. Are you humble? You say, "Well, I think I am." Not unless you obey the Father's mandates. Well, what is that? I gave you three. Learn, study, grow. God said he's looking for people in Jeremiah that not only know him but understand him. The spiritual life must be learned. If you don't understand what you're doing, you're not living the spiritual life. There are mechanics involved, and the mechanics are the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the first one. And the second one is to take the Bible, the Word of God, and learn it and apply it into your life. Well, what are you supposed to learn? The 10 problem-solving devices would be a good place to start, because they keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Stay with me. You're learning. This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.